Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show. This session of the radio show shares the conversation that the radio gang had during the winter break. We took some time to look back at 2020 and ahead to 2021. We did have our conversation via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. The radio gang, as you'll hear in order of appearance, are Pete Fasciano, Jay Horrigan, Jim Derrick, Ann Bergen, Pandora Carlucci, and myself. The recording runs about an hour and 14 minutes. So let's listen to the radio gang. And by the way, a slightly shorter version of this will be aired on WFPR FM. Thank you all for joining today. This is the time between Christmas and New Year's. It gives us an opportunity when things are a little bit less busy, hopefully. But perhaps doing some more family stuff as opposed to some work stuff. I know from my own Franklin Matters perspective, there's no meetings this week, so I can catch up on some things. So one of the things I thought to do was clearly get this, you know, radio gang, affectionately called radio gang, somewhat had at least been able to adjust their schedules and participate today. So what I'd like to do at least is kind of do a round, and I'll begin to set the stage, but to do a round and look back on the year. Clearly, it's been a challenging year. It's challenged us, you know, more or less in different ways. And then look ahead, because we are still in it together and we'll get through it. So to thank you all for participating today. We'll introduce each of you as we get into your individual piece. And again, I'll just do my first part to kind of set the stage in terms of what I was thinking. And clearly, you're all intelligent, respectable people and articulate people. And I know see some people shaking their heads. No, in some cases, I feel little in this group compared to some of the accomplishments that you've done. So we are in it together. You have your perspectives. We're just looking to share so that folks in Franklin will get to know a little bit more about us, and we at least have some willingness because we're behind the mic, we're in front of the mic, we're talking with other people. So our perspectives may trigger something, and hopefully, you know, we'll get to a better place over time, because that I think is one of the things we're all going for.
One of the things I'd like to do also, Steve, and since we're all gathered here together,
certainly,
is I would like, as people hear this program, to consider that maybe, just maybe, they might like to be part of the radio gang. Mm-hmm. And we could talk about how we stumbled into it and why it is chock-a-block with fun and excitement. So, sorry, Mr.
Can I talk
Mr.
about
Media
the contract?
Escaped for a moment there. I'm okay now.
Yeah. Well, come on down to WFPR. There you go.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Meet Pete.
I'm in broadcasting.
This is kind of a fun group, so trying to be serious for all group. This is going to be a challenge.
Wait, I'm out of here then. I'm sorry.
Come on down and meet Pete. We're giving away cash today.
Right. Be the first to call. Okay.
Looking back amongst all the challenges, I think the one key piece that, not that it never was there, but the awareness around how much health matters. So much we take for granted. And I know there's been other examples, you know, we take a lot of government services, for example, for granted. You know, you walk to the kitchen counter and turn on the faucet and the water comes out. You flip the light switch and the lights come on. You know, the doors stand up because of the building codes. The houses stand up because of the building codes. You can drive on the streets and feel some safety because of the police protections and everybody behaving to the speeding laws, et cetera, et cetera. But then health, you know, you wake up in the morning, that's a good thing. And then now we have to be that much more careful about how we, a tribal, very social folk, meet with others. You know, now we have to do much more rigorous hand washing, social distancing, wearing masks, so we don't necessarily see each other. Now we're depending upon, you know, eye contact. You know, what's the wink gonna be? You know, do I recognize that person? you know, you're walking on the trail and some people you walk by and you say hi and, oh, that's Steve. I heard his voice, right? Because they wouldn't have recognized otherwise because you're dressed, you got a mask on, they don't know. And you likewise may not know who they are. I could be walking by people who I know all the time. And unless you get some trigger of knowledge and it's like, oh, is that, then you know. Health is that much more important and will continue to be so because, you know, and Maslow's hierarchy, for those who may recall, it seems to have kind of gone out of the favor these days. It's not mentioned much, but it is so critical because if we don't take care of those health and basic safety needs, housing, food, which the pandemic certainly has raised to a level of awareness that perhaps other than the Great Recession or even from our parents and grandparents talking about the Great Depression way, way back upon a time, you know, wasn't really, what happened? Why were they doing that? Why were they standing in lines? You know, it makes a difference. So health, looking back and then looking forward to make sure we contain our health. Creativity, the second piece, gives me hope. There's been so much. People are figuring out a way. Let's do it this way. Have we tried this? Willing to try, right? And you can fall down, and I think somebody said it, you can fall down 8 times. It's the 9th time that you have to get up. And you keep getting up and keep trying and keep trying. Because that's the entire, you know, lifelong learning piece. I've admittedly been a lifelong learner. I'm still reading. I'm still listening. I'm still learning every day. That's what I do. And sharing is part of that, of course. But there is hope. I do see a lot of hope amongst some of the different community relations, the different groups that are coming up. The youth are becoming a little more active. There is a lot of hope, especially with the vaccine. Hopefully it'll be plentiful this year as well. Mm-hmm. So in terms of starting around, those are the two key things coming back to the word. Health first, hope in the creativity to help us get going. So
I would like to add, you know, you Fasciano. Brought up Maslow's. You brought up Maslow's hierarchy. I stuck one in the middle there somewhere between, you know, the basic wants and needs, food, water, shelter, and the top one, high actualization. Mm. Somewhere in the middle of all that, I stuck one in there. Basically, the desire to be less confused.
That would be nice, yes.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I strive. But it has been, it's pertinent in that, you know, with respect to the learning curve that we've all been on with respect to the virus, where we were back in February and March, where we went through the summer, seeing, you know, subtle changes in, you know, what do we do about masking? What does it really mean? How effective is it? All that. And at this point in time, we have the tools. We know what we need to do. We are less confused about the virus. There are questions that have been answered. Now it's time to put it into action and for everybody to mask up, be prepared to get vaccinated, be part of the solution, be part of the solution. And I can't emphasize that enough. And, you know, at the end of the day, none of us remain safe until all of us are safe. Mm-hmm. And that means finding a way to get vaccination to happen worldwide. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. a big challenge.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. I have to admit that
this is Jay Harrigan. If you haven't heard that voice before,
and please don't turn your radios off.
missed something insightful.
I have to admit that I when you brought up whose ever theory it is. I must have missed that year in school. So I'm just winging it on anybody's theory, except for Pete. My theories normally are Pete's, and I go by him. So the confusion thing through all of this has been a huge part of my life.
Well, you know, Jay and I strive to be confused, but you know, always confused on an ever higher plane.
But Jay does it so well.
I know. It's very consistent.
You know why? It's because I'm lucky enough to sit with Pandora once a month and take in. I think some of her intelligence is rubbing off on me. Well, occasionally rubbing off on me
in brief bursts.
We haven't seen it yet, Jay, but I know it's there, buddy. I know it's there.
Someday, Ant. Someday,
virtually, it's not up. Being rubbed off because you haven't been in person, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, Steve. Are we doing like a retrospective here? Is that
we? Can,
it's whatever.
Reflecting back.
Whatever you look back.
Kind of whatever I want. Freeform. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And this is Jim Derrick.
So Steve.
There's the voice.
Yeah. So Steve, on February 13th of 2020, it's hard to believe, my other job at the Safe Coalition, we had an open house and we had, at least 100 people and maybe 200 people over the course of an evening come through our offices and maybe 100 gathered for our ribbon cutting.
It was an and I remember the excitement. Crowd, and I can attest to that because I was at the door holding open to keep people in and out.
Right. And we were in close contact. It's only about 2,300 square feet of space. And I remember the excitement and optimism in the room that night. It was really a wonderful evening. And I am very fortunate to work with one of the most optimistic and forward-leaning people on the planet, Jennifer Knight Levine, who is our executive director, who shared our enthusiasm that night. And then, of course, not more than 3 or 4 weeks later, our offices were closed. But here's what I've noticed. And I use my experience at the Safe Coalition as kind of a bellwether for this. I, at the time, like everybody, confused is a great way to put it. Frightened is another word that I would come up with. Discouraged. And kind of searching around me to see how other people were going to react. What are other people doing during this? And this is where the magic happened, in my opinion. It wasn't a month after we were closed that people had quickly turned from pessimistic to optimistic. We will get through this together. You started to feel that sort of, and I'm talking about the Safe Coalition now, sort of that esprit de corps among our board of directors. There was also, and this is critical, a significant amount of forgiveness, a significant amount of understanding about what other people were going through. So there was a feeling that if you missed a meeting, it's okay, we get it. You know, if our goals have to be adjusted, there was suddenly this sort of human need to understand what other people were going through and to flex and to be more flexible with all around us. And that was my experience at the Coalition. And then as this thing went on, I realized that here at FPR, I was getting similar type of flexing. Maybe I didn't have a show ready on time and Keith was willing to work with me. Maybe, there was a kind word from somebody that said, hey, by the way, how are you doing? Enough about this. How are you doing? And then as I went out around the community and started talking to the different police officers that we work with through SAFE or different organizations that we come into contact with, I'd hear it more and more and more. And I think that that's one of the real gems that in my opinion has come out of this. That's one of my real takeaways. Forget the political climate nationally, but right here locally, in our community, are we now seeking less to be understood and more to understand? Are we doing less talking and more listening? Are we compassionate to those that have to close their doors or the lines at the food pantry? Have we softened our hearts? And I would say the answer is a resounding yes, that in less than a year's time, a remarkable change has happened. And for all those cynics out there, and I used to be one, I urge you just to listen, just to open your ears and look around you, and you will find a much more compassionate, gentle community than we had just in January. And I was part of each, you know? Mm-hmm. So to me, that's where the hope resides.
I think you've made an interesting point, Jim. One of the things I've seen over the years is that crisis tends to magnify human behavior. That is, those who are negative become more negative. Those who are positive become more positive.
Right.
Those who are altruistic become more altruistic. And it's a statement for the community at large in Franklin, and certainly for Massachusetts, that we have seen a clear shift, as you've described, for the better. On the national scene, we've seen others who have gone the other way, who have been dismissive. Selfish would be in a totally appropriate word. And it's unfortunate. It's really unfortunate that they just don't get it. But one of the reasons why we enjoy the current numbers that we do, even in the midst of the rising issues with the pandemic, the relative safety that we've achieved by comparison to the national statistics, it really points to exactly what you talked about.
I agree. Can I jump in and just follow up on that?
Absolutely. No.
This will be Ann Bergen, if people haven't recognized the voice already.
Just sort of from a school perspective and following up on Pete and Jim have said, I think there's just this newfound appreciation for everything that we value. When you miss it, then you realize all the things that you value. You know, your family becomes more important, and your friends become more important. All the things that you're missing out on, and those connections are so much more valuable. But in terms of education, what we're seeing too, and everybody knows, we don't have to go over it again, that the incredible turmoil and what this has done to kids and to families. But through it all, it's sort of what Jim was saying, this resilience, this patience, as Sarah Ahern always says, what we need right now are patience and kindness. And we're seeing it from every level. We're seeing it from kids. We're seeing, you know, especially like Steve was saying, the young people are stepping up to the plate, you know, and we're seeing that. And we're seeing the working families struggling to deal with what they're doing. We're seeing teachers on the front lines. And through it all, this sense of resilience, and like Jim was saying, you know, we can do this, we can come together. But I think from an educator perspective, is people are really understanding the value of education, that it's so much more than academics, that it's social, it's emotional, it's everything that schools provide, you know, and why they're so valuable in a community, and why we have to support them and fight for them, particularly public schools, you know, at all, you know, and it's, and we will get through it. And then in the future, for me, my final thing was just, and this is what we've been talking about, I know Jay and Jim and everybody, we've been talking about just what we're seeing now is the issues around mental health, and that we see them surfacing. They've always been there. That we know that for young people, this is the issue of our time. Before it, it's substance use, it's depression, it's anxiety, it's all they're still there, only they're much worse. So as we look forward with all this, you know, the insight that we've gained is the importance of keeping that focus on in our community around mental health. So but I do think there's that spirit of resilience. I think we should be so proud of ourselves as a community. I look to that, and you see this kindness and this spirit of working together, and I'll never forget that. And I think we come away, right, as everybody says, as wiser, stronger people. So There's something that we gained from this. We lost a lot, but we sure gained a lot. But
well put.
That's it, yeah, right?
There's a great statement. That think sums up what Jim was talking about as well. The best things in life are free, because the best things in life are not things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're here. And to the extent we are all in this together, you know, There's a great fear amongst, and while I say younger parents, it's not demeaning by any means. They're still at that stage where they want the best for their kids, like all of us did, and they don't want them to fall behind. But at the same time, we're all in this together. Nobody is ahead. Nobody is behind. And that's we all need to learn, not so much the ones and the twos. It's not this book or that book. It's learning to learn. And how do we do that? And oh, by the way, it has to be done together.
You know, Steve, I thank you for saying that. I think that's so true. My son is a sophomore engineering student at Roger Williams University. I'm very, very proud of him. He came home. Mm-hmm. Came home and shared with us that he was struggling mentally, that sitting in his room for 4.5 days a week with the crushing amount of work that he had isolated was not good for him. And he shared that and raised his hand and asked for help at school and got some very good advice. Mm-hmm. And under my panic, because of course, as a parent, you're panicking, thinking, oh my gosh, what's wrong? Is there something catastrophic here? Is there something he's not telling us? As this is sorted out, what I've come to realize is that he was met with understanding. He was met with care and compassion at this university. And importantly, he, to his credit, and they, to their credit, instilled upon him, and he absorbed it, that it's not the end of the world to hit the pause button, that life doesn't always happen in linear, equal, measured doses, that there, it's not a straight line from here to wherever there is. You'll be okay. Take a break, reorganize, and come back at it. And I thought, man, is there a lesson? He's learned more by doing this than he could have ever learned by just staying and continuing to march on and ignore his own health. So there's a lot of good coming out of this and a lot of learning opportunities for young and old.
I think you find numerous opportunities and displays of kids, not just kids, teachers, administrators, staff, people that run a public access TV or radio station, different people like that. I think that the, you know, you keep reading some people saying, well, kids are getting behind and everything. Mm-hmm. You know what? They're learning totally different lessons than we learned as kids. And it will help them, hopefully, if we can help them cope with some of the bad side effects, the knowledge that they're going to pick up is just tremendous. And it's so much more, you know, as much as I humanly possible, I think I've picked up a couple of pieces of knowledge. I now know how to get on a Zoom meeting and unmute my mic. So that's pretty good for me. But it is a different kind of learning. Maybe we're getting behind because maybe kids aren't in school. So to do that long division, kids may be a couple of weeks behind, but they've learned so much other information and ways to handle things, I think. You know, and you could speak to that, Pandora. You could speak to that with all your involvement with so many different things.
I was thinking of that when all of you were speaking, that these past months have given many of us a new platform and a new lens to look out as to how we can communicate, how we can serve, and how we can do so in an inclusive manner that's non-judgmental and helpful at the same time. And we've seen so much happening across our community, whether people are teaching live on Facebook or they're streaming through YouTube, they're sharing talents, they're sharing knowledge in new and different and informative ways that help people. If we're alone at home or if we are in home with a number of people with whom we live all the time. But these branches of friendship, of knowledge, of sharing really help to carry us through these difficult times and give us these moments of really enlightenment and joy and learning of new things at an unexpected time. So that's what I would say in response, Jay.
But that and Pandora, that's exactly the way I was thinking about it as well, is this reaching out. And when you listen to Jim talk about his son at college, his son's not alone, but a lot of these kids think they're alone. They think there's something wrong with them. These young parents, Steve, they think my kid's falling behind and they're panicking. And to the extent that we keep, like you're saying, getting that information out, and that's why what we're doing is so important, just finding all these different ways. So, you know, people like Jim Sunken here, I'm not alone. Someone talking directly to them and these young parents, your kids aren't going to fall behind, you know, like what Jay was saying, you know, there's so many other lessons that they're learning. This is about resilience. These are the life skills that are going to carry them through. They're going to catch up with the reading and that's, they're not going to fall behind, but it's somehow reassuring them and doing and using every kind of vehicle, Pandora, like you were saying, you know, to get that information out. And that's, I think, what would do is so important, you know, so, but to follow up on that, I would agree with everything Pan just said. It's very important.
Yeah, there was an anecdote I picked up when I was sharing. And for those who are Franklin Matters readers, I've been sharing Joe Landry's series of videos on Franklin decade by decade. An interesting tidbit for the 1930s to 39, apparently there was a big discussion, rather a controversial one. Who knows whether it was the same as kind of the school start or the Davis Thayer piece. But the first graduating class of Franklin High School to wear caps and gowns. And we today think everybody did it forever. But the first class, I think it was in either 34 or 35, created an uproar in the town.
No way.
It did. It's recorded. It's real. It was. And Joe does his research. It's valid.
What was it like, Jay?
It was, you know, it was very, it was kind of comfortable. They were, needless to say, they weren't fitted as well as they are today.
Well, you know, what with being burlap, you know, it's,
yeah, exactly. Exactly. The gowns were nowhere near as becoming as they are now. I didn't look my strongest. Yeah.
It brought to mind, it was only a couple of years ago, there was a similar kerfuffle about changing the gowns so that there were now two colors and people had colors.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Know,
yeah.
Like, really? I mean, when you put it in perspective, granted, you need to know the history so you can appreciate it and not, you know, learn from those so you don't make the same mistakes again. But again, some things change and some things don't. There are still issues. And that's why I think if we continue to be open, talk, we are all in this together, to put that, you know, theme there.
Steve, I'm going to pay you an unsolicited compliment, but I kind of transitioning to FPR and my involvement here and our involvement here. You know, one of the things that I wondered right at the beginning of the pandemic is how the heck are we going to stay in the air? You know, I mean, I had all the faith and confidence in Pete, but I mean, in terms of producing new programming. And there wasn't even a hiccup before we all had brand new state-of-the-art microphones sitting in our living rooms. Mm-hmm. We had an enthusiastic group of people on Zoom led by Pete saying, look, we can do this and here's how we're going to do it. And we didn't miss a beat. And it's been a complete joy and pleasure to work here as a volunteer. Because the programming, first of all, it's exciting and fun to do the programming, but even through this pandemic, we didn't miss one beat. I'm convinced anything could happen and we won't go off the air at this point. But the compliment I wanted to pay Steve is that there have been times when I've, you know, I do three programs. I do Music Lift the Spirit with Frank Falvey. I do Frank's Music with Frank Falvey. I do four programs, sorry. I do Chapters Radio, which is a talk program, and I do Talking the Blues with my friend Todd Monjar. And there are times when I've run out of material or I started to sag a little bit. But Steve, your programming has really kind of lit a spark, I think, here. And I think I'm speaking for everybody. The Franklin Matters podcast and programming, the interviews that you're doing, really, for me, have motivated and excited me, because there's so much good information coming out of those interviews and those segments. And it's so pertinent, timely, and relevant, and you keep it up to date and fresh. So I just wanted to, if people haven't heard Steve Sherlock on the air on the Franklin Matters program, I urge you to tune in. And I just want to thank you for really igniting, I think, an even bigger spark than was here, certainly before you were here.
Yeah, can I follow up too on that, what Steve's doing? And then also just to add, people really need to understand that with the public meetings, town council, FinCom, school committee, Franklin Cable TV and Pete Fascianu have done to make sure that those meetings are accessible to the whole community, and how it's changed, right? The whole playing field out there, the dynamic and involving community members like we've never had before. And that's because of cable TV. People need to understand the importance of the community, to the community of cable TV. But that's another dimension following up on all that Steve's doing with Franklin Matters. But people need to see that piece too, right? I mean,
it's the way people are staying informed, and they're listening
more
to those
so
meetings,
than ever.
And they're so accessible because Pete, we have the on demand listening feature.
Yeah, on demand.
So anybody can go to WFPR.fm and take a listen. Am I right about that?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's WFPRFM.fm, anywhere on the internet. Absolutely. Yeah. So you don't have to be within the local Franklin area dial on 102.9. That's on the car radio, home radio, kitchen radio, whatever. But then if you start going a further into Bellingham, Rentham, you kind of lose, and then it goes away. Because 102.9, by being the small band, and certainly Pete's in the expert in this case, there's also a 102.9 in Boston, coincidentally.
Right.
And I'm sure there's others around as well.
There are several.
But the .fm, anywhere on the internet, it's great. Playing field. Who would have thought that we would have had the budget hearing on the playing field at the high school? The weather helped us. But to put that together, and we had, I think it was, over 1,000 people listening?
Absolutely. Yes. Mm-hmm.
You can't fit more than 75 in the chambers.
That's right.
Well, when you think about it, if you look back to January and February and the first 12 days of March, who would have thought that we would be, you know, I know Pete and I had talked, at least on the sports side of TV, at some point getting to live streaming of games. Weren't sure how we were going to do it. But we were almost, you know, we had to take a step back because everything got canceled. But then Pete and Chris Flynn went to work on it, and Keith and Mark, and they came up with a way to keep parents involved, being able to, and grandparents and whoever, to watch their kids participate. We were able to do, which for me right now has been the highlight of the year, was that graduation parade. To the point that was so successful, the kids that are graduating this year don't care about a graduation. They want the parade. How are we going to do the parade for them? You know, which we were hoping would be a one-time thing, may turn into something much bigger. And that the credit to that, I think a lot of it goes to Anne, it goes to Dr. Ahern, it goes to Pete, and it goes to Chorkin, Danny Harrington, the officers of the class of 2020,
who
kind of put that together and put the bug in our ear when we first talked to them.
That was truly a collaborative event.
Absolutely. Really was incredible. Yeah.
And Jim gave away 27 cars that
day. Yeah, it mixed in there were BMWs and Audis, Jeeps.
I didn't get one. Where was my car?
Nor did I, Pete. Nor did I. We could use one here, but no.
I mean, and you know, the FPR experience for me is something that has really sustained me. I've always been excited about it. And while we're on the subject, I'll go back to the way I got involved. I'd been doing Safe Coalition television programs with Dr. Bergen, and I was walking through the lobby one day and saw the radio station being built. And I said jokingly to somebody, I've always wanted to be on the radio. And they said, well, consider it done. And that was my entry into Franklin TV and now WFPR was, if you've got a passion and a curiosity, you can be on the air. And much to my amazement and excitement and joy, that initial question turned into a 4-year relationship that is continuing, and I'm more and more excited every day. And the great thing about it to me is it's accessible to everybody. I've got my friend Todd Monjar who shared a dream and shares a love of music with me. And I said, hey, I know, we'll put together a show, Talking the Blues. I'll pitch it to Pete. And that pitch was met with enthusiasm, excitement, as always.
It's a great show.
And I love it. We love doing it. And
podcast version of that, because I don't always catch it on the radio, and I used to be able to catch the podcast, but
yeah. And we've got, there's plenty of people here that have their own experiences that I'd love to hear about. But for me, it's been a real joy. And you just can't get a better place. You will not find a better place, mm-hmm. in my mm-hmm. opinion, to mm-hmm. enjoy creative expression over the air, whether it be Franklin TV on the TV side or the radio side. It's that simple. And it's open and accessible to anybody.
Back in 2013, we were one of the lucky ones. That is, I had been at Franklin TV for a year, but I knew that the FCC had been musing over the idea of opening up the FM band for new applicants after a 10-year hiatus. They had announced it as early as 2010, and they finally got around to it in 2013. So I had our application ready to go. Did the engineering research, et cetera, and fingers crossed, put in our submission. And we got a pretty quick response from the FCC. It was a go. And of the 90-something applications that were in Massachusetts, there were 19 that were issued, of which I think 16 actually made it on the air. So at that time, the original vision for a small community radio station was an extension of what we do for community television, and also to be primarily a volunteer operation, but to give Franklin a platform that people could take it wherever they wished to take it reasonably. And, you know, between Jim's program, Jay and Pandora, three, you know, the priest, rabbi, and a minister walk into a radio station, Steve, Franklin Matters, all of it. Frank Falvey, have to include Frank.
Can't forget that.
All of that is basically the original charter of the radio station writ large. It has happened completely and beyond my original expectations for a community radio station. And all of you make us sound a whole lot better than our weight class.
And then I'm there. Pete, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit. I don't think it was as much luck as you're saying, because you're an extremely humble person. But Ann and I have been on the board since the beginning of the TV station. The work you did in preparation for the radio station, we found out, I think Ann can attest to it, more about how the FCC works, how applications work, and how the radio was going to work before it was even time for you to put the application in. And then the day that they were open, you had all this work done. We've been very fortunate at Franklin TV and radio, I think, to have you. And the people we have involved are all on the same page. And it's led by you. You're like the Wizard of Oz. You see the future.
Don't look at the guy behind the curtain.
I was going to say, hopefully you have a little better ending than the Wizard of Oz. But you've seen these. We've talked about at board meetings, the cord cutting, what we need to do to promote our programming, things like that, which I was involved with the TV station prior to you getting involved in us becoming the corporation that we are. There was none of that. It was me, Bill Page, Bob Dean. And occasionally would get people to come in and do a show. And that was it. And it looked like our shows looked like Zach Galifianakis, however you
pronounce
his
name.
Between two ferns.
Yeah.
Before that was fashionable. Before that was fashionable.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And our sports coverage was Bill and I going wherever there was a game, recording a DVD and trying to get it on the air. And then Bill, getting it to parents. That was it. So I think Pete very much understates what his responsibility and how he's brought this whole vision to Franklin TV and radio and then implemented that vision. So, I think that needs to be stated because Pete would never state it.
But you're right, Jay, and you think about it back to the vision for the studio when it was a grocery store and then it turned into this gem in the community. It was an old groceries and it was because of Pete, and he turned it into this masterpiece in our community, this place where people can go for so many different reasons, this community center and all the different things that have happened as a result of, I'd like to take credit for it in some way, but I can't because
while we're on that end, when we get out of this mess, and we will, and we reopen the studio, if you haven't been up there, get up to this. Come up.
It is, right, Jim?
Have a cup of coffee. It is better than being in my living room, believe me. And it's just a wonderful gathering spot.
It was so interesting, as I remember back, we as a board, we hired, obviously, builders. We hired an architect designer. And our architect designer ended up being Pete. Pete did the drawings. Pete did this. Pete's like, no, this room has to be set up this way and everything. And at that point, he had input. Matt Ferrara was with us.
And
Chris Flynn's been with us. Chris was with Bill and I back before there was a, before we are what we are now.
Yeah.
But Pete was Mr. Everything. He's designing it. The only thing I didn't see was him, doing the wiring. Well, no, I did see him do that. I did not see him up on a 15-foot ladder hammering a nail. That may be the one thing I didn't see him do.
It was 12.
Have I told you guys that I also make my own clothes?
And he walks on water on the sideline.
Ankles are wet.
Well, the good thing about making your own clothes, I don't know, I've been in the same sweatshirt since March.
This is actually an intervention, Jay. This isn't on the air. We were going to talk to you about that.
I'm waiting for the Safe Coalition to show up.
Right. Zoom background for you.
Yeah. Well, the beauty about the radio operation is that it has, in fact, become even more relevant, given COVID and the fact that the threshold for producing radio is fairly straightforward, easy to do, and between Zoom and providing reasonable microphones, et cetera, it works. And I think a key thing to understand looking forward is that in going through the pandemic, we are going to come out the other side of it better for it. Things have changed in town chambers. Community involvement in town chambers will forever be enhanced with Zoom. The town councilors and other town boards are enthused about that. The radio station has proven that we can disseminate information, we can be resilient. And again, with Zoom, et cetera, the way that we work now is, again, forever changed. And I think that, there will come a time, we don't know exactly what day it is, but in one of those warmer days, somewhere between April showers and May flowers, once we've gone through the darkness, in that given day, we're going to look around, feel the warmth of the sun. In that instance, we're going to know that it's over.
Yeah.
In some personal way.
You got it.
I think, Pete, what's been great and everybody is the fact that we've been able to do these get-togethers, the radio gang, as you dubbed us, but we've also gotten to do other things. We've brought we've brought religious leaders out to talk about the various impacts.
Mm-hmm.
We've had, you know, the people from Save Coalition talking about the mental side of it and issues like that, and we've covered so many things. And the great part about that is everybody, you know, we've got emails going back and forth, we've got ideas coming back and forth, that it has truly opened up, I think, what Franklin TV and radio is all about. And as you said, it will forever change us, but yeah, it will also change, I think, the direction of Franklin TV and radio going forward. I think we'll see things that even a year ago we never envisioned, never thought about, never considered.
And the cool thing on that, Jay, is you know, and I want people to know this that may be listening. We are an open community. We're not a closed community. If you want to get behind a microphone, welcome. And you know, I just want to mention that, because who would have thought a program about, I'm sorry, I need you to, a minister, a priest, and a rabbi walking a radio station. Okay. Yeah. How, that is such a cool, you know, I heard it and I immediately had to listen. And it's a great program. You and Pandora Carlucci do a wonderful job with that. And, but, you know, talk about the creative process a little bit, Jay, if you would, that went behind that, because I know that it wasn't, you know, that's something you had to nosh on a little bit.
So the creative process, I listened to Pandora and that was as creative as I've been in my life.
Yeah.
Pandora came up with the idea. Pandora, why don't you explain how you came up with, she was the one who contacted all the religious leaders in town and put just so much effort. I was the one who scheduled the Zoom meetings.
Actually, I looked to Pete for that. We were at a board meeting last winter and we were talking about the radio and programming, and Pete said, whose voices aren't being heard? Mm. And there was kind of a collective pause around the table as we all reflected. And I just asked if there were any religious leaders or faith leaders or any congregations being represented. And we then reached out to them. And I really have to say, and I think Jay agrees with me, we have a really small role in supporting Reverend Eric Cherry from the First Universalists, Rabbi Tom Alberts from Temple Etzayim, and Reverend Kathy McAdams from St. John's Episcopal Church. And each week, they give us this lens to talk about life in Franklin and what we're all dealing with. And excuse me, it's not each week, each month, rather. And we've had 6 discussions over the course of about 7 months, but that's what it was. And they come up with the prompts and the subjects, and they just are just so gracious in their conversations and helping us to kind of talk through what we're all going through during this pandemic. So Jay, would you think that sort of captures it? I really think the 3 faith leaders.
Yeah. I think my extent is either 1 month I'm introducing people and the next month I'm helping close the show out, even though one of our faith leaders are doing the actual, I would say that the closing out of the show. You know, we were able to, the 5 of us came up and with Pete's idea of doing a live show the day after elections, and we wanted to do that because there was a lot of apprehension. There was a lot of concern as to how everything would shake out. And we thought it would be a great way to look at what was going on and give people a different perspective and maybe have them take a step back. And we were able to do it. You know, the faith leaders we're with were so lucky. And we did have 1 week or 1 month, I think, Pandora, Father Manning joined us from St. Mary's because one of the normal faith leaders just couldn't make it. To see him just step up and jump into that role, you know, has just been great, I think. And just a year ago, if you would ask me, I would have never thought I would have any involvement with anything that didn't have a ball.
Yeah, so. That's great. And, you know, I love listening to it because you get three perspectives and they don't always line up 100%, right. You know, and it's great to hear. And that's the point. But you get wonderful anecdotes. Rabbi Tom always has a wonderful anecdote, as does Eric and St. John's priest. Kathy McGettis. Yeah, Kathy. Yeah. You know, I was thinking about, so doing that live programming after the election, that's something you're not going to forget. I mean, that was a seminal moment, both nationally and then here, it came all the way back to Franklin Radio. I've had a couple of times that really, I said, okay, this is why I'm, This is where the rubber meets the road. One was with Ann Bergen, and we interviewed, young man that was in the wheelchair from the drunk driving victims.
Yes. And, oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Forgive me for not remembering their names. I should probably edit in their names. But that was a very emotional day, but also life-affirming day to watch the way that he had dealt with his complete, total disability. Had to actually talk through an iPad, but his right arm works, and he's very strong. And I had seen through YouTube the fact that he would arm wrestle students. It's the Berdour family. Forgive me, family. So he would go out and use his right arm to arm wrestle to point out to students that if you want to try to take me on, even though I'm in a wheelchair, you're going to see that you've met your match. I got down on my knees in the studio and arm wrestled. I got down on my knee and arm wrestled Kyle Berdour.
Kyle.
I'll just say it a couple of times. Kyle Berdour. And so I arm wrestled Kyle Berdour and lost to him. In the studio, and
he took you out.
He took me out. And the other time that I said to myself, this is why I love this medium, is when Sue Rosen walked into the studio. And Sue Rosen, the community that remember Sue Rosen, just a gem of a person, incredible spirit, compassion, excitement for life, was dying of cancer and had very little time left. And she came, I had read her story on Facebook, and I had bumped into people that knew her, including Rabbi Alpert, and they said, you won't meet anybody more special than Sue Rosen. She came bounding into the studio, all 4'7" of her, like she'd been shot out of a cannon, couldn't wait to sit down behind the microphone, filled with joy. And for about 40 minutes, I was blessed by her company and by her words, and I was able to deliver that interview to her children, which was important to her and to them. And it really made an impact on me. There's nothing that makes me happier than when we repeat that show and I have people email or comment that they were so happy to hear Sue on the radio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's interesting, Jim, you talk about the shows that, you know, you really remember that stick out to you. I remember, again, I'm a sports guy. When this all started happening, I was sitting in the Boston Garden watching high school basketball and texting with Chris Flynn, getting ready to amazingly broadcast our third state final basketball game involving a Franklin team. The girls team had won and had qualified to play that Saturday. And then all of a sudden, everything started shutting down. And Chris and I are on the phone with each other. Are we going to be able to do? And we were so disappointed that we weren't able to do it. But then so much more came out of it. We were, you know, they ended up, as everybody knows, the Franklin girls are the defending state champion. And the way things are playing out this year, it will actually be a 2-year reign because there is no state tournament this year. But the other things, we were able to talk to kids that played on the team and had played winter sports or spring sports that didn't happen. And myself and my good friend Kevin Papa were able to interview them and get their reactions and how they were feeling. But it also gave those kids a forum to deal with and express what was going on with them, which I think, and not because of me, but for them, it was important. It was important for them to express what they were going through, what their feelings were, and things like that. That sticks out to me. The interview Ann and I did with Jen Levine sticks out to me. When we interviewed Mr. Hannah, the new principal who walked into this just amazing thing. And of course, the shows I've done with Pandora are just... Again, a year ago, I would have never thought I'd be involved with a show like that, but I'm proud to be today.
Indeed. And just to mention a couple of other shows that are also, and unfortunately the people couldn't join with us today, but Mark Lindsay and Kim Simone with the Wonderful World of Wine, and Pamela Hines, who does the Wonderful Jazz program. I tap into that at least. And preparation for the school committee meetings, because that's also on the same Tuesday nights. But it's even when I'm walking around town on a Tuesday to tap in and just explore the world of jazz. The variety, as we've mentioned before, you know, from faith through business and, you know, town business, Franklin Matters, through blues, through Frank's explorations of different music to wine, the variety is just... It's amazing.
It is. And, you know, that wine show belongs on. I mean, that is, I submit to you that what Mark and Kim do, they are so passionate, first of all, about the subject. Kim being a sommelier. Is that what you call it, Jay? Because you have one. I know what you're
saying. Yeah. I'm actually wearing one right now.
But Kim is a professional wine person, as is Mark Lindsay over at Franklin Liquors. But that show is it's just, I'm not even a big wine guy, and I listen all the time because it's segments. You'll get, you know, 10 minutes on a particular subject, and then bang comes in the bumper music and you move on to another subject, and it's fun and it's fresh, and they make it really the whole wine world accessible. You know, to even a schmuck, a Schlitz drinking beer guy like me can get in on that good old Merlot, you know. And Jay, can you turn the Bud Light sign off that's flashing in the background? It's very distracting.
Yeah, I've got to put up the Peel's Real Draft sign in its place. So
we're showing our age for sure.
Yeah. Jim, just to follow up on that, I think, and to anybody that's listening to this, if you have an idea or want to do something, we have always talked, as long as Pete has been involved with Franklin TV, we have always talked about people wanting people to get involved, come in with an idea. Pete is tremendous, will help you out and make you appear almost professional because he's done it with me. And that was a task that we thought we'd have to hire another executive director because I was so difficult on Pete trying to learn this, but we just, you know, different ideas. Again, I go back to our board meeting back whenever we had it, when Pandora came up with the idea through talking with Pete, and we went with it for the priest, the minister, and the rabbi show. You know, thank God Pandora was on that meeting. We would have never thought of it. You know, she was the one who came up with it. I just got to tag along. The same thing with a lot of things Ann and I have done. You know, I'm just lucky to be involved. I would encourage anybody, if you have an idea, share it with us. If you want to be on the air, we'll get you on the air. We'll put you with someone. If you don't want to be on the air, we'll still have you involved. We can do whatever you want.
And we all went to, I'm sorry to interrupt, Jay. We all went to a pod camp with Steve. And so there's another opportunity where you can capture not only here on Franklin Radio, but you can create a podcast. Is that,
yeah,
is that something we want to talk about?
We can certainly tap into that. They need to have the interest and some willingness, and then the rest, there's multiple avenues, multiple tools within the social media that we can certainly explore. And that's the glory of this group, is there the diversity of the group helps each other, the willingness of the group to help each other. It's there. Just ask.
And Steve, I think that's the big part, the willingness to help each other, you know, get through. Everybody has their strengths. And we have found over the last 9.5, 10 months since we've been doing these Zoom radio shows, everybody's got their strength. But that person who may understand and then able to communicate it to someone who has no idea how to do it has been tremendous. And that's, again, the local radio, local TV. That's the beauty of it.
I am not a tech person. I sat down, Pete held Audacity is the name of the software that we use that is free for anybody to download, and I guess state of the art, right, Pete?
Absolutely. One of the things about Audacity is, you know, they say there's no free lunch, but with Audacity, it really is freeware. There's no hidden cost. There's no gotcha. There's no re-up. There's no pro version. There's no aftermarket sale. It's just really terrific free audio recording and editing software. So if you visit Audacity on the internet, you can download it. There's a lot of help, a lot of tutorials, and it has become the backbone of our operation. So strong recommend.
And I must say, my idea of, you know, high tech was being able to turn my iPhone on, and I'm not kidding. I'm not poking fun. I'm just not interested in it. I love editing. I absolutely love editing. In fact, I said to Pete one time, he'd see me in the studio, and I just sit there and edit all day long. To me, it's better than golf. I lose myself in it. There's so much creativity that goes into it. And it's just been a joy for me. And so, I mean, that's something that, regardless of your entry into tech or what you feel about tech or computers, you will find help. And I love to help people with Audacity. It's something that, and I produce, we all produce our own programs for the most part. And I edit 4 shows a week, and it's become a blast. And I'm learning every day new tricks and tips in Audacity. So whether you come at it with just a creative idea, not just a creative idea, but a creative idea, or whether you come at it from the tech side, you'll find, as Jay just said, you'll find a wide range of talents here that'll be more than happy to help you out.
Jim, just following up on that, what I was just thinking as you were talking about your passion and all that, I was thinking about you. There's so many young people out there, high school age, middle level age, that are passionate about this. It would be so good to give them an opportunity to create some programming and get them out there and find, I'm sure, through the Franklin High School, and they're doing stuff there, but getting their work out to the public as well. And that partnership that Pete has with the high school and working there and getting that, because I just keep thinking about that, spurring that talent, that young people and the passion and getting them, because these are the careers of the future. It's going to be all this is, you know, communicating in this way. And boy, to the extent we can get young people involved in this too, and get cards them to do programming. And we've seen some of the creative stuff they're doing, and get their work out into the community more. I think that would be incredible.
I've got to shout out to we have a tremendous group of high school students that are involved with the sports coverage that just are do an unbelievable job for high school students. That it's amazing. They're at home practicing, watching a game on YouTube, practice announcing it. The TV station has been fortunate enough. We've had two guys, three people come through that are really doing something. There years ago, there was Connor Morissette and Andrew Sear, who broadcast. Their big thing was the girls basketball team, but they would do it. One of them now is writes for and covers sports for Bleacher Report in Southern California. That's Connor. Andrew Sear, I believe now he's also with Bleacher Report, but he has been with TNT. He has done some amazing things. He went to UMass. Connor went to Syracuse. Then we had Joe Clark come through, who has kind of moved over right now to the writing side of it and is covering the sports teams at Xavier. And just his articles are unbelievable. And the stuff all these guys, and we've got another crew coming through, and a lot of it they get from Pete Fasciano. They also get a lot of input from Pete Royce, who does a tremendous job on our sports coverage. So, you know, we're so lucky in all aspects to have such talent in this area that, at least in my case, I just go along for the ride. And plus, I get free admission to the games when I go to cover them. So
they still make you pay at the concession stand, though.
Well, they try to, Pete. If you grab the slice real quick, you can get away.
Jay, you bring up good points with the different voices, because it would be great to hear some of these other voices. A number of our high school students, college students, young adults, they're constantly listening to podcasts because they're on demand. You can listen to them when it's available. Come and be a voice on the radio. Share your thinking, share your passions, reach out to the community. It's a voice that I think we would all welcome.
I'll put
totally
it simply.
Totally agree, yeah.
If you've ever had the penchant to talk into the hairbrush, radio's for you.
Yeah.
I grew up, Jay, back in the 60s. You might remember that time. When the Red Sox were vying for a pennant, and I used to stand with a hairbrush at times, oftentimes in front of the television. I used to use a pen and one of those black Sharpies until I wrote all over my face, not realizing I was speaking into the wrong end. But I did announce the 67 when Lomborg was on the mound, you know, the impossible dream game. And honestly, that was the way I broke in.
Yeah.
I didn't give Ken Coleman or anybody a run for their money.
I did the same thing. We were living up in Syracuse, and you know Syracuse, their basketball team was tremendous. Their football team, I went and watched them once. They lost 42-0, and Tony Dorsett scored 6 touchdowns against them. That was not fun, but it was. That's the Syracuse University is a hotbed for TV, radio people, especially in the sports world. Yeah. And that's where I kind of got the idea of wanting to be involved. Never thought it would be cable access community TV, but I'm so glad I did. Right. You know, it's been a lot of fun. It really has. Plus the people that have to put up with me now, it's a whole different group. So that's great. I've worked my way through many, many other people that no longer speak to me.
Yeah, but that's what resilience is all about. So that's good.
There it is.
How to tie it in, Ann. Great segue.
Yeah, being mindful of everybody's time. And I certainly thank you for contributing and sharing and collaborating. The synergy of this group is always a joy to watch and listen to, at least from my point of view, and hopefully the listeners will agree. And at some point, you know, somebody out there listening will get that spark and reach out to one of us, or at least send info at FranklinTV, I believe is the active email address, right?
That is correct. info@franklin.tv.
Would be a way to say, hey, raise your hand. I want to do something. They mentioned that we could do something. And then the radio gang will get involved at some point and help out.
Hey, Steve, I think all of us would be remiss. Not sure if that's the right word, but it really sounded good to use it. In not acknowledging what you've done for Franklin Radio, since you and Pete have kind of come together to collaborate on so many things, I think the information you bring, the knowledge you bring is just, is beyond what any of us thought, and just gives us kind of another person with the expertise to teach the rest of us. But what you and Franklin Matters have done for this town, in the way you cover it, again, would be remiss in not mentioning it, because I think we're all a little better off. We have a better understanding of what's going on in town due to your coverage. So thank you for that.
In sports terms, Jay, you talk about bench strength. When you've got Steve as a point person who knows virtually, as a reporter, almost everything that goes on in the community, yeah, and is tied in personally, and can get you in touch with just about anybody.
Yes.
And then you put that together with the technical skills that Pete and staff have. You know, you can really do, if you want to do a local program, boy, you've got a really strong bench.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just one final word from me. I just wanted to really, without being flattering at all, just an honor to be part of this group and to work with some the people right here on this panel today. Jay, you're incredible. I mean, we tease you, but
we've got I know. That on tape.
Everybody, Steve and Jim and Pete and Pandora, what you give to the community. And I just, it's just an honor. Jim, all the work that you do, and it just to be part of this conversation, it's so inspirational. And to thank all of you. I mean, just as a citizen and just kind of watching and like Steve says, listening to what people have been saying, and Steve, all that you do, and you give your heart and soul to everything, and you feel things so deeply, and you care so much for our community and all of you. And I just want to say it's an honor. So thank you. Thank you, guys.
Feeling is more than mutual.
Absolutely. I think I for one, learn from every single person around this virtual recording session. The youngest in experience on this group. I've only done 6 shows, but I listen to everybody else's shows and learn. And I thank you for sharing your knowledge so graciously.
I also, just to go back to kind of how Steve started our show, talking about, you know, the current climate, and Pete talking about, you know, there's kind of an end in near.
Yeah.
I think this group, along with a few others that are able to join us here and there, but this group has been the consistent group getting together. And personally, that's helped me getting through a lot of this stuff, because you can't do it on your own. We've talked about that. We've talked about the mental health aspect. And at least to have 5 other people where we can sit here and talk forever and help each other out in with different perspectives is just tremendous. And I thank all of you for that, because you've helped me deal with the last 10 months. You may not have helped my wife enough, but that's going to take longer.
Yeah, we're not miracle workers. We're not miracle.
Pandora is. She makes me sound good on the show. So
Dan can do it. Yeah.
In her typically snarky style, I'll remind all that Lily Tomlin said it best, we're all in this alone.
And my final word will be Franklin matters, and this is one key reason why.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, Steve, for doing this, putting this together.
That, it's fun. We ought to do it more often. I think we could do 6 hours a day.
Yeah, we could. We could.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.